Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to read through announcements to check what's going on around here. Just a few things to highlight with our Lenten services. We do have, on Wednesday, we do have a 10 a.m. Devotional worship service here in the sanctuary. And in the evening, the schedule is 6 o'clock meal and 7 o'clock worship. And this week, we will be at San Luis Catholic Church. And then also a reminder that the Easter Lily deadline is on Tuesday the 1st. So if you want to order Easter lilies and you haven't yet, please get those orders in by Tuesday. All right, other announcements. Okay, then I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, "We're Across the Crowded Ways of Life," and we will sing the first four verses, 1, 2, 3, and 4. We begin the service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Amen.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen, Lord, mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen, Lord, mercy.
You shall not kill.
Amen, Lord, mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen, Lord, mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen, Lord, mercy.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his cattle or anything that is your neighbor's. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them,
and repent of them, and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of all mercies, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us from all sin and make us strong. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing our next hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, you may be seated.
First lesson is a reading from Joshua chapter 5. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after that Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
God.
We'll read Psalm 32 responsively. Happy are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guilt.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away because of my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. Therefore, all the faithful would make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding. It must be made for the bit, or else it will not stay here.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on down. Everybody doing okay this morning? That's good. How are you? Have any of y'all seen a movie called Aladdin? You have seen Aladdin? It's a story about a guy that, what does he do? He rubs a lamp, and what comes out of the lamp? A genie comes out of the lamp. And what does the genie do for Aladdin? He gives him 3 wishes, right? And by the end of the story, with the help of the genie, Aladdin has a lot of money and has the love of a beautiful princess. So wouldn't it be great if you could wish for just anything you wanted to do? What would you wish for? What would you, just some crazy wish, what would you wish for? Like, okay, I'd wish for, let's say, just all the money in the world so I could just buy anything I wanted to. How about wishing for I didn't have to go to school anymore? Or I could eat candy with every meal. Well, yes. Always a good wish for as many Bibles as she could get, and that's a good one. But sometimes we wish for things that we just don't really need, don't we? And that's not really good, is it? In the gospel lesson that Pastor Tim just read us, Jesus tells a story about a young man who found out about wishing for things you really shouldn't have. This young man had 3 wishes. He wanted a lot of money. He wanted to travel and see the world, and he wanted to be his own boss. Now, he got these wishes, but they weren't granted to him by a genie. This young man went to his father and said, "Hey, I want half of whatever's mine. I want all that's mine when you're going to die. I want you to give that to me now, all the money and land and whatever." Now, this made his father very sad, but his father gave him that stuff. So the young man took all his stuff, and he left, and he traveled all over the world. He visited all the places he wanted to and did whatever he wanted to do. And he was happy that no one was there to tell him what to do. Because he had money, he could buy anything he wanted to. And because he had money, he had lots of friends. So that sounds like a pretty happy story, doesn't it, so far? But that's not how this story ends. The young man ran out of all of his property, all of his money. So all his friends left him, and he didn't have anything. So he was so destitute, so desperate, that he went to work for a man that made him feed the pigs. That sounds like a good job. Maybe some of y'all have had to feed pigs. You don't have any animals. Me neither. Well, the young man was so hungry that he would have gladly eaten the food that he was feeding to the pigs. And as he looked at this filthy pig pen, he thought of the mess he'd made out of his life. Now, here I am feeding the pigs. Even my dad's servants at home have more than this. So he said, "You know, maybe I ought to think about going home. And I'd ask Dad, would you take me back and I'd just be your servant? And that would be better than the life I have now." So this man goes back home. Does anybody know what the father does for the son? Is he mad at him? No. Does he treat him like a servant? No. The father is so happy to see the son that he says, "Let's have a party, because this son of mine who was lost is now found." So the story really does have a happy ending. And this story is one of many that Jesus told that is called a parable. And a parable is a word we don't use very often, so who knows what a parable is? Gwen? Right, so this story is supposed to teach us a lesson. So let's look at this. So who does the father in the story represent? Who do you think? You're absolutely right. The father in the story represents Jesus or God. And who does the son represent?
Sinners.
Sinners. And who are the sinners? Let's get more specific.
Us.
We are the sinners. We are the sons. I know. Sometimes we make bad choices, just like the young man in our story. We sometimes wish for things that are not good for us. We sometimes don't listen to God or obey what the Bible tells us to do. Sometimes we forget to listen to mom and dad, too. When we act that way, we really make a mess out of our lives. Just like the father in our story, God, our heavenly Father, is always willing to take us back if we will admit that we were wrong and return to him. Because one thing I forgot to say, sometimes I lose my place. When that son was saying what he needed to do, he said, "I will return to my father and tell him that I am sorry for the way I behaved." So God will always take us back, but we have to say that we are sorry. We have to ask for that forgiveness. And when we say we are sorry, we are repenting. And I don't know if any of y'all can remember or were here last Sunday, but Mr. Terry used that word last Sunday, repent. And that is something we need to do when we do something wrong. We need to ask God for his forgiveness that we're sorry. And no matter how many times we say or that we do something bad, we can always ask God for forgiveness, and he will give us a big hug and take us back. So just remember that. Let's say a prayer. Dear Father, we sometimes make bad choices. Thank you for being a loving Father who will always take us back when we come home to you. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our story for today out of the gospel lesson is the parable of the prodigal son. It's one that I imagine just about everybody has heard before. It's probably very familiar to you. It's one of the favorites for many people. For me, I'm always intrigued with this one because of there is so much stuff within this parable as you start to study it and as you dig into it. So if you have a couple of extra hours today, we'll get through it. All right. Really, what I'd like to do is kind of look at the younger son today. But to do that, you got to look at some of the family dynamics and what's going on in this story. Back in those days, large families were a blessing. People wanted large families because children then become a blessing to the family. And in some ways, they would see the salvation of the family through having large children, that this family would continue and survive throughout generations. If you had large families, also the large families then also provided more wealth to that family because the kids would be working as alongside parents and hired hands and whoever else to increase the wealth of that family. And so large families were a blessing. But here in this story, we see only two sons. There's only two sons, and we don't see a mother. We don't see a mother in the story. What happened to the mother, I do not know. I can imagine the father, who is a wealthy landowner, I'm sure wanted large family, wanted many children, but had only two. He had an older son, who was the responsible one, and he had the younger son. I can just imagine this younger son, of how he grew up and what he was able to do. This being the last son of his father, he is the baby of the family. I'm sure he could get by with anything. He was the cute one. People could wander off or do what he wanted to, and he wouldn't get in trouble. And I imagine sometimes the older son was the one who was sent out to go find him or to watch over him as they were growing up. And then as this younger son starts to grow up, I'm sure he's probably playing a few tricks on the hired hands, but again, he always got by with it. And then as he grew up even more, maybe he wasn't satisfied with just being there on the farm, on the place. So he'd go in the town, find him in taverns, maybe get involved with some of the local young ladies, maybe drink a little bit too much. Maybe the older son had to pull him out of the drunk tank once or twice. And the older son, I know, was probably just fed up with it. Enough. Why am I always taking care of him? Why is he always getting by with everything? Now, I'm sure you've had friends like this. Maybe you're one of them. Who can just get by with anything. I know I had a friend like this when I was in high school, junior high and high school, that he was always so much fun to be around. Whenever Bubba was around, we had fun. Bubba could cause trouble. He could stir things up, and then he could talk himself out of it. And so a lot of times we would say, Bubba, we're going here today. And so we'd wait around for him to come and wait and wait and wait, and he wouldn't come. And then he'd finally show up so late. But we'd still go have fun. We forgot about how Bubba just showed up late or was irresponsible. We have friends like that. We know what it's like to have these people. And it's kind of somewhat frustrating to us because they can get by with stuff that we cannot. And so this younger son, finally grows up and says, I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of this community. I want to get out and see the big, wide world. There's got to be more stuff to do. So he goes to his father and asks for half of his inheritance. It's interesting with the father that the father doesn't put up a fuss. He doesn't say anything to the son necessarily, except he just divides out the property between the two sons and gives the half then to the younger son. Maybe the father was thinking, maybe he will learn some responsibility. Maybe he will not be as lost as I think he may be lost.
He gives the younger son the opportunity to go out and learn. But the younger son doesn't do that. He goes out and he parties. You know, I can imagine he goes to France to the finest restaurants. He checks out Spain with the adult beaches. He goes to Germany with the dance halls and the beer. He checks out Italy with all the fine wines. He goes to Russia and drinks all the good fine vodka. He goes down to the Mediterranean and stays at the most luxurious hotels on the island resorts of Greece. And he uses up all his inheritance. He squanders it all. Squanders it all. Until he hits rock bottom. He comes to his senses after he hits rock bottom. Because he has no food to eat, the only job he gets is to slop the hogs. And he thinks, my father treats his hired hands much better than this. Maybe it's time for me to go home. Stop there just for a minute and think, what does it take to hit rock bottom? What does it take to change? I've heard that for us to truly want to change, the pain in our life has to be greater than the joy we are getting out of our life. And know that there is joy somewhere else. That pain has to be greater than the joy in order for us to change, to hit rock bottom. And for everybody, the rock bottom is in a different place. Maybe it's just being scolded by your parents. Maybe that's your rock bottom. You turn things around. Maybe it is a slight brush with the law. You turn things around. But then for others, it may be going through a drug overdose and knowing that you just about killed yourself. Or maybe it is going to jail or going to prison to know that this is not the life that I should be leading. Maybe it is hurting somebody so close to you that they do not want to be a part of your life anymore. Maybe it's going through a divorce. Maybe it's your children not wanting to talk to you again. What is the rock bottom and what causes that rock bottom? Are you able to change? Are you able to come to your senses like this son did? On the other question with that then too is who are the people who have not yet hit rock bottom in your life, but you know that they are at some point, or they're at least headed that way? How can you, say, raise up their rock bottom? How can you change that rock bottom for them so that they can see or come to their senses? And once they do come to their senses, are we ready to welcome them back? Even though they have hurt us. Again, this son spent half of the father's wealth. He blew it. But yet the father is still ready to welcome him back in. Are we ready to welcome those people? What about those relationships that are so rocky, they are just about at the rock bottom? Are we willing to change those? Are we willing to change our own lives? Hitting the rock bottom, this young man turned his life around. And that's exactly what repent means, is to turn around and go in the other direction. To turn around and go into the other direction. What's it take for us to turn around back to God? What's it take for us to keep from walking away from God and turning back to Him? Or helping somebody else come back to God? God is always calling us. It's always interesting here in this parable as well then too of the father. This wealthy man in his robes, hiking up his robes and going running down the lane to go greet his son. And I'm sure the hired hands, the slaves, everybody working for him were either shocked or they were laughing to see this wealthy, powerful man running down the road after this son. God comes running He sends His Holy Spirit to us to raise us up when we hit the bottom, to raise us up when we need that hand. God calls us back to Him, and He opens us with open arms. But that's not always the case as far as people wanting to turn around. There's still the older son here in this parable. The older son was upset. Half the wealth is gone. The older son has been there all the time, and now it's this son, the same son. It's that same pattern. He can get by with anything, even using up half the wealth of his father. He can get by with anything. His father's throwing him a party, and he is upset. But his father explains to him, "Everything that I have is yours. And what is most important is the love that he has for his family, the love that that father has for his children." God's love is here for us. It is there for those who are not here, those who have wandered away, those who have strayed away. God's love is there, and he's waiting with open arms, waiting for us to return. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "I Lay My Sins on Jesus." Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For the church, the world, and our poor sinful selves, let us pray to our Lord, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Holy Father, thank you for forgiving, welcoming, and restoring us, even when we squander your gifts and turn away from you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who brings us to our right minds and helps us to repent. Thank you for your Son, who guides us to your embrace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for families torn apart by sin, squabbling, and selfishness. Heal them and return each person to their right minds. Deliver them from the pigsty of foolish pride and the far country of hostility. Take away whatever resentment and hurt stands in the way of healing and reunion. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Forgive those who, though entrusted with authority, power, and influence, have squandered these gifts and used them foolishly. Give wisdom, integrity, and prudence to our elected and appointed leaders, to those in the military and first responders, and to those entrusted with educating our children or caring for the vulnerable. And teach us to live at peace with one another, despite our differences. Lord, in your mercy. Bring healing and hope to all who suffer. Bring them back from the country of pain, sorrow, and despair. Enrich caregivers, counselors, and social workers to help bring about healing. We pray especially for Catherine Glore, Lynn Magura, Courtney Scott, the Zimmerman family, Clark Kerlick, Janet Lemke, Elaine Molina, and Lord, we also give thanks for all the rain. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you've welcomed so many prodigals into your kingdom already, including many whom we have loved in this life. Thank you. Keep our eyes fixed on the road home to you. Lavish your Holy Spirit upon us so that we constantly trying to live in faith towards you and in honest love for one another. And at the last, welcome us to the homecoming feast you have prepared for us. We yearn for your prodigal love to embrace us forever. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, dear Lord, and answer our prayers according to your will, to your glory, and for the benefit of the people you long to save. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, for all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into pardon, into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Our closing hymn, Beautiful Savior.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.